So here we have the exciting title sequence with this great song that I don't know the words of, or I would sing along. Our very handsome and exciting cast, all of whom do a terrific job. So we pick up with Pablo returning after a two-episode absence. Originally, there was a subplot at the end of episode four, two episodes ago, where Pablo, at the very end, gets into a car with a shady character from his past and is gone for several weeks, and now he returns, and nobody knows where he was. That ended up getting cut out of that episode due to time constraints, I believe. Now we just explain that he was off horse shopping. And here we have Half-Naked Junior being greeted by his sister Danny when she shows up at his loft. The point of this scene originally was to show that since Junior has moved out of the Davis family, that Danny misses him as much as they had a tendency to bicker or fight when they lived under the same roof. She's actually kind of lonely and longing for a little contact with her brother. Originally, she showed up like gangbusters and demanded that he have lunch with her, and he said he didn't have time because he had to go to work, and she said dinner, and the conversation gets on to his love interest, Rebecca. And a lot of that just got shortened, and so this is how the scene turned out, and it's just as effective as it was when I originally wrote it. You need to be warned. Of course, Danny's secretly glad that, not so secretly glad that he's no longer with Chris. Yet. And now, of course, we have the infamous Bentley driving up with Junior's long-lost mother, who we met in the finale of season one. She basically showed up after a long, exhausting search that Danny had done, but now that she's gotten to know her son, she's actually starting to like him, and at the end of the scene, she refers to him as our son. Oh, right there, she did. And, of course, Mr. Davis doesn't like that. So she has demanded $500,000, which originally, I believe, was $30,000, and then it became $100,000, and somehow it got blown up to $500,000, which is a lot of money to give your former wife when she shows up 20 years later. But, you know, he's trying to buy her disappearance is his ultimate goal, so he can win his son back, because he sees her as being in the way of his son, which is not really true. And this is Whittakus, the horse, which was originally called Solomon's Mine in the first draft. I don't know how I thought of that name, Solomon's Mine, but I liked it because it was sort of long and clunky. But unfortunately, it did not clear. Perhaps there was already a horse with that name, so we had to change it. And we went through several different names, Django Boy among them, and I don't remember some of the other ones before we came up with Whittakus, which is actually the college nickname of our very hardworking script coordinator, Mr. Stephen White. So when his friends watch this, they will be surprised to see the horse named after him. This scene was originally much, much longer, and it basically got shortened just into that kiss, which conveyed the same material that was originally in the scene, which was kind of dialogue-heavy, and there's a lot of further scenes coming up with Junior and Rebecca, so it seemed wise to sort of get right to the point and move on. So Pete shows up to go through a box of photos, which apparently they never divided up when they split. The idea of this scene actually was conceived for an earlier episode this season, but it ended up not going into it, and I resurrected it for this because I thought it was a nice way to explore Gene's past as well as Gene's future. And, of course, Pete being from her past, and now she's dating Charlie. She'll always have a soft spot for Pete, I believe. And, of course, Danny wants Matt to be her full-time trainer. But he feels the conflict with his family's ranch, so he's hesitant. Medical and dental was the original line. I don't know somehow that the dental got dropped, but it works very well. He looks really cold, doesn't he? Not emotionally cold, I mean like physically cold. He looks like he's a little chilly there. He knows it, and we know it. It's a tough decision for Matt. And Pablo shows up at his quarters on the ranch, and there's a mysterious person sitting there. This is Reuben, someone from Pablo's past, whose name was originally Lyle when we first came up with it. And it somehow became Reuben, although I don't know if this actor is Latin or not, but it still works. He does a great job. We learn that Reuben is from Pablo's past, and he's throwing out some hints about what that is. I believe the idea of Pablo having a secret was actually in the original pilot, and we have wanted to explore what that secret is for some time, and there was talk of doing it in season one, and it didn't happen, so this seemed like the right time. In the middle of season two, to finally delve into Pablo's past, because, of course, Greg Serrano is a fantastic actor and capable of doing a lot, so we wanted to give him a nice meaty episode to sink his teeth into. So we don't actually learn here what the secret is from Pablo's past. But we do find out about this mysterious John Zack character, and we learn that Whitticus is part of Reuben's plan here. The original concept of this episode was going to be much, much darker. It was going to involve a whole sort of mob arena and, you know, have more violence. We originally conceived a fire on the ranch as a warning. Mysterious people show up and set one of the buildings on fire. It was very exciting, and there was going to be a, you know, possible murder, and it just wasn't our show.